Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Oh, baby, the harsh reality of your season ending at the hand of the Sacramento Kings happened last night. As the Kings roll over to Golden State Warriors, Tim Roy on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. And oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, we're going to have a show ahead of us. Hell, we're going to have an all season ahead of us as the Warriors bow out to the Kings, 118-94. The Kings starters outscored the Warriors starters 104-48. Klay Thompson doesn't score in what could be his last game ever as a member of the Golden State Warriors. And there's a lot to sift through. There's a lot to talk about here. What went wrong this season? What went right? What could you build on in the future? But the death of a dynasty is real. That iteration of the Golden State Warriors is now dead. And now we need a reset. It just is what it is. It is what it is. We'll get into it all show long. 888-957-9570 is the number. As we shout out YouTube and Twitch, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal first-class money market today. You can now download the Odyssey app directly from our YouTube and Twitch pages as we have added the QR code on both pages. Shout out to the Xfinity Mobile text line and, of course, our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call into the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't today, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water, Playmaking and Drain. And Shask, I'll start right here. As we got into the last 7 minutes, and the last 5 minutes, and the last 3 minutes, and the last minute of the game last night, and you start to think about what the decade produced.
Mm-hmm.
4 championships, 6 finals appearances, the gravest memories of our basketball fandom life as Warrior fans.
Hands down.
You can't knock what they've done in the past. But all good things come to an end. And it's never easy watching dynasties fall. It's never easy. We watched plenty of dynasties fall all over the course of our lifetime, Shasky, including here in the Bay Area with the Giants and the Niners, and now with the Golden State Warriors. And the realization is that this trio, this big three of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, they reached the pinnacle. They reached their ceiling. But all good things come to an end. And that's all I kept thinking about in the last moments of that game, on the drive home last night, during the post-game show, is at the death of the dynasty. The fact is, you didn't make it out the play-in game with the most expensive roster in basketball history. And now it's time for change. And change is hard for a lot of people, Shasky, but that's what went through my mind. And we'll get all into it here, as I know I'm long-winded to start the show. But the death of the dynasty, man, that iteration of Warriors basketball is all but dead.
You know, last night's game to me was a microcosm of the last 2 years. It was just, it was coming. If you watch this team night in, night out, you know, all of the warts, all of the flaws, all of the issues, all rooted their ugly head last night. Yep. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot in sports. Like, why can't teams just take the L? Why can't they just take? Last night was a cold dose of reality for a lot of people. Well, if the Warriors win this one, and then they win on Friday, and then they get in, they can knock off Oklahoma. How could you not feel that way after what that trio has given you for a decade? At more than a decade, really. Unprecedented appreciation. Like, these are some of the words I was thinking of when I was sitting there. Last night was an ice cream night for me. The sadness of the reality. Whenever I get real sad and I start, you know, thinking about life and things that I can and can't change, I go right to the ice cream. I go right to the mint chocolate chip, and I sit there in silence by myself in the kitchen, no laptop, no iPad, no phone, and I just eat ice cream and I think. And I was thinking long and hard about the Warriors last night. And the Kings kicked their ass. I mean, there's just no other way around it.
Kicked their ass.
And they dismantled them. They look younger. They look more dynamic.
How lucky were the Warriors to be down 4 at the half last night?
Well, and you know, shame on everybody for blaming all the youngsters for the last 3-4 years. Yeah. Just every without the youngsters, you lose by 40 last night.
Yep.
I mean, that's where we're at. And there's a lot of issues that I have with how it went down, and we'll get to all that. But like, the last thing I was angry. And I know, I'm not saying don't be angry. If you're frustrated and you weren't ready to have it end, I get it. I get it. All right. I do. You know, I had my and I keep going back to this and I apologize for that. But like, there's certain grievings where you see things coming a mile away. And my dad was in a very sick, sad place for a long, long, long time. And it hurt really bad when he passed away. But like, I was trying to mentally prepare myself for that moment. And you're never prepared. But I felt like watching the Warriors, and I'm not here to try to compare life and death to a basketball and all that. But there's a part of me that saw this coming from a mile away. Yeah. And to have it happen the way it did, my thing was I stood up and I was like, damn, dude. You know how many great memories I got from these guys?
Yeah,
well, you know how many highs of the highs? How many anxiety-filled fourth quarters did you watch standing up inches from the television as these legends who are going to have statues, delivered unbelievable, unreal moments time and time again? The amount of joy we extracted from their achievements. So I get people being angry today. I'm not. In a weird way, I felt like, and this is horrible. I'm sorry. I'm long-winded. I feel like it had to happen that way.
Yeah.
It's like the only way for this thing to move forward is to be reimagined, is to rip the Band-Aid off, B.
It almost felt refreshing to get to this offseason. It felt refreshing because you talk about all the clutch games they've been into, and I don't know if that's a good stat. To me, it was a sign of you're not good enough to blow people out. You're not getting up to get blown out. You're in that gray area. You're where the Atlanta Hawks were for many, many years, where you're not good enough to be a contender, but you're not good enough to be in the lottery. And his team was just good enough to get into the play-in. Like that, and I get it. The West was elevated this year. You win 46 games, really, which is two more last year. You had a couple of young players pop. But the fact is, you needed the big boys to show up yesterday, and the big boys did not. They got outscored 104-48 as starters. Keon Ellis outplayed any of the starters on the Golden State Warriors. Keegan Murray set the tone with 14 first quarter points. Brilliant. And he was probably one of the better players on the floor. I mean, three of the best players on the floor were playing for the Sacramento Kings last night.
Yep.
And the way they blitzed Stephen Curry, and you know, Klay Thompson going 0 for 10, I mean, it's the worst game of his career. And if that's the way it is for Klay Thompson, what a sad moment. What a sad moment to watch that go down. And I know how these things work. One game will wash away a solid season for Klay. But that lasting image of Klay Thompson going 0 for 10. Now think about this. Klay has never attempted that many shots without making one in a regular season or playoff game in his career. The worst game with the minimum of 5 field goal attempts was when he was 1 for 13 overall, 1 for 8 from 3 against the Sacramento Kings back on March 27th, 2013.
But Klay's
2013.
Klay's going to get
a
disproportionate amount of hate, but like to me, like Curry didn't play great. He had a lot of turnovers. Wiggins was all. I'm sorry. Like, Klay, of all my list of issues.
No doubt.
But I hear you.
To watch Klay.
It was sad.
Because what Sacramento did was, again, something we highlighted yesterday. Ball pressure all 94 feet from Keegan Murray and Keon Ellis. You're not getting into your offensive sets until about 15, 14 seconds left on the shot clock. And you got a lot of non-shooters out there.
Yes.
And look at the shots Klay was taking. I thought he was uncomfortable all night, and credit Sacramento for that. And they made Stephen Curry uncomfortable. Here's the truth about Stephen Curry. Post All-Star break, he struggled with efficiency. If you take away the 6-6 game against the LA Lakers and the 7-13 game for the Pelicans, Curry shot 34% from three. Klay shot better than Steph post All-Star break. And Steph was gassed. You know, Klay plays the 77 games. Curry plays over 73 games. I mean, this guy was gassed. And for the first time, I thought, boy, Steph Curry is showing his age. Keanu Ellis ripped him three different times. Ball pressure left and right. And I get it. Steph was blitzed. He was doubled. He was tripled. He had no airspace.
Yeah, they did
a great
job.
That's the way the Kings should do it. I've been waiting for teams to come up with this game plan. Keegan Murray, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy III. The list goes on and on and on. That long, active defender Stephen Curry has to see every single night. They figure things out on how to slow him down. And so for the first time, as I'm driving home, I'm thinking about Clay. I'm also thinking about Stephen Curry. Boys, the days of him leading a team to a championship or being the number one, numero uno on a championship team, are those days over? Does Curry need a co-star? I know we don't want to talk about Steph Curry.
Of course he needs a co-star.
And of course we don't want to get to Steph Curry, and I'm not disrespecting Steph whatsoever. No. I'm not. But for the first time, I thought, boy, he needs help in a major way. He needs somebody to lift the load, which is not easy because you got to remember, when you come here and you come to this culture, this organization, the fans automatically are going to ride with Steph no matter what. Just ask Kevin Durant and how that played out over 3 years. It was tough. It wasn't Steph Curry's fault. It wasn't his fault.
I think
but the magnitude of having Steph on this roster, that co-star coming in here, those are some tough shoes to fill, and those are some tough shoes to come into to play in this situation. That's the beast of it, Shasky.
Yeah, I know, but I think where Steph is, where the fan base is, where the organization is, I think they're welcoming any help that they can get.
No, I 100% agree with that. I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
And it's not Steph's fault.
But you're right. There is an disproportionate amount of criticism that'll come to anybody who's coming for anything Steph Curry's. But I would just say this. I think at this point, we're welcoming a life raft. Like, Warrior fans are begging for a life raft.
I think Curry would welcome it.
You think?
Curry welcomed Kevin Durant for crying out loud.
I'm watching the whole league. You just watch these games, right? When teams run the high pick and roll, that guy who's running that high pick and roll is a threat. We're running it with Draymond, and Draymond hit a couple of threes last night, but he's not the threat that some of these other guys are in these situations, in these actions. You need to have a dynamic wing or a dynamic big who commands attention.
I agree.
You know, and there's a variety of issues. Curry wasn't good last night. Like, there's no other way around it. But I want you to isolate. I know you guys did at times on the postgame, but like, I was watching in real time, and I'm glad you guys showed it on the postgame. He'd come off of whatever action, and there's a second guy, and then a third guy waiting, and they're not even honoring their dude. So to me, it's like, well, look at that's brilliant coaching, brilliant discipline by the Kings, which they deserve their credit, because I do think we're losing giving
the
them enough credit.
The Kings dominated basketball.
But the reality is, they didn't lose in the Western Conference.
Right.
They lost in the 9-10
game. They lost in the 9-10 game.
The reality
changes
of where we are.
Right.
And here's the thing. I believe, and you can disagree, people can disagree out there, the only way to rip the Band-Aid off without the fool's gold, the fake carrot out in front of the donkey walking forward, the only way was to lose this way.
No doubt.
I feel like any other way, you go on a run,
way,
and then we do this, and then, oh, we were so close, and da-da-da-da. Nah, man. We got to reimagine this thing.
What are you, Steiny right now?
But no, because I was listening to people on Steiny and Guru's show yesterday. And I was like, hey, we win Friday. We can knock off OKC.
No.
And part of me understood that point of view because I get why you would think that.
Shasky?
It's been a decade.
Can I miss something, Shasky? And people may not believe me, but I had a hard time envisioning them winning two games this week. I had a hard time imagining the Warriors winning two play-in games to get to Oklahoma City when this season is Toby. And you know, I'm locked into the season as well as anybody during the pre and post game. I'm looking at league pass everything. With last Friday's game against the Pelicans told you who the Golden State Warriors were. They didn't win those type of games all season long. All season long. And during this stretch, when they went 4-1 on that road trip, I came in and told you guys, I don't want to say it like that, but I didn't think they were playing good basketball during that 4-1 stretch. They lost to Minnesota, right? And they really controlled the game. The Warriors of old win that game. These Warriors don't win that game. And you beat Miami, who was shorthanded. It was ugly. You were losing at the half. Orlando was a struggle. You were losing. You're basically tied with Charlotte at the half. You're up 5 on the Charlotte Hornets at the half. And then you're struggling with San Antonio when you're down 8 at the half. I didn't think they were playing their best ball down the stretch. The turnovers that we cited, the points off turnovers that we cited, the live ball turnovers that we cited, they were not playing good basketball. Because why? Teams have surpassed them.
Well,
with athleticism, with length, with size, and they've been watching the Warriors dominate for a decade. But all these other teams, every time, and I said this every single day on the show when it came to the Warriors, every time they go on the court, they're at an athletic disadvantage.
It's clear, obviously.
At an athletic disadvantage. It's obvious. How bad athletic, they looked athletically mismatched yesterday. They were outworked yesterday on every level when it came to offensive rebounds, okay, second chance points.
Who of the top five paid players on the team? Steph, Clay, Draymond, Wiggins, and CP3. Who had a really good game?
Crickets.
Okay, so thank God you had youngsters because you lost by 50.
Yeah. JK?
Well, I mean, this is the JK had a moment in that game. Okay, so I'm going to rat-a-tat-tat some things here. I feel like I've been a hater of the Warriors all year in terms of how I've been talking about them because I feel like I've been seeing this a mile away. There's the first thing. The biggest element for the team, looming over everything, Draymond Green. I mean, like, we're all afraid. Oh, Draymond's a champion. He's kind of sabotaged two consecutive seasons. Well, he played good in that game, but like, let's call it what it is.
Well, listen.
I mean, he sabotaged two seasons in a row.
You missed 17 games due to suspension. You missed another game because you need to ramp up from the suspension to get ready to play. And get ejected out of four other games. And that's the sad part. That is the sad part. When we think about Draymond Green's season, it's going to be overshadowed by the suspensions and the ejections.
They still haven't gotten over the punch the year before.
I know. But hold on, let me finish, Ash.
I'm sorry.
We'll get to that. Because Jordan Poole did play some really good ball. And I saw a tweet this morning from Justin Tinsley of ESPN, who we've had on the show plenty of times. Justin Tinsley, he tweeted out, I wonder how Jordan Poole feels this morning. And no doubt, that really impacted the culture of this franchise. They have not been able to get over that. And all these people that were tweeting yesterday, as I was on Twitter more yesterday, boy, they could have used Jordan Poole today. Oh. They need somebody who could dribble, drive, penetrate.
No, you don't. Not you. You know what I'm saying? That fan doesn't get to do that after you drag this young man for two seasons.
But what I thought, and look, the Draymond Green suspensions and ejections will overshadow the good season he had on the court. Draymond Green proved to me, at least, that he's important to this team with the way he plays defense, the way he facilitates. But it ain't good enough. Ain't good enough for this iteration of the team. And what he did to keep himself off the floor overshadows everything that he does. It overshadows everything.
But Bonte, like, that's at the top, right? Like, that's one of the things. The other thing is, you made a horrific trade because of Draymond Green, which you're still reeling on. You traded a 23-year-old player for a 38, 39-year-old player, and then you told me said player CP3 was going to be very important come playoff time. Yesterday was a playoff game. You know who the first guy off the bench was at guard? It was Brandon Pajemski, and I love Brandon Pajemski. He's had a remarkable season. You went pods not once, twice before CP3.
What did I text you?
Twice!
What did I text you?
And then you had pods guarding De'Aaron Fox.
What did I text you?
You tell everyone.
I thought Kuminga would come in with CP3 to settle him down off the bench.
Agree!
And Chris Paul, and you can't tell me Chris Paul's happy. Chris Paul's hoping he's out of here.
Bonte,
he only played 18
play
minutes
enough.
Yesterday. Played 18 minutes and 17 seconds yesterday. 3 points, 1 of 3, no impact. Now, the pace was probably a little too quick for him, but in a game where you need to settle things down, and in a game where you turn the ball over 16 times, which is double the amount the Sacramento Kings had, and you have the points in the points off turnovers, you're a minus eight there, and you don't play CP3, Pods had a solid game. But you brought CP3 in for these moments, and you don't really play him. So now we circle back to the trade deadline and say, well, you should have just traded him if you're not going to use him in this moment. I thought we were waiting for this moment.
And then, which brings me to the trade deadline, Andrew Wiggins. I look it. Andrew, thank you so much for 2022. I'm so appreciative. I'm good off of Andrew Wiggins moving forward. And in fact, I think not choosing, and look, I understand people thought they could play alongside each other, not choosing between Wiggins and Kuminga, to me, you set yourself up for frustration. You yo-yoed back and oscillated between the two players. For some reason, you acquired GP2. He ate into Moody's minutes. He ate into Kuminga's minutes. Kuminga was the guy you should have chose and you should have stuck with moving forward. Andrew Wiggins cannot be relied upon moving forward. I am grateful and I'm very appreciative of 2022. You squeezed the lemon for all it's worth. We got to move on. Like, there's so many elements. You got the whole Dre domino effect, and then Andrew Wiggins looming over the last two seasons as well. Like, there are a lot of components. On top of that, like, again, Clay, you know, to your point, it really sucks because we're going to kick this guy while he's down, and I don't think it's fair, and I don't think today's the day to do it, and it's going to be easy to do it because he went 0 for 10, and it didn't look good. But Clay's a legend, and the one thing I'll give Clay cares. I can't tell if Andrew Wiggins cares sometimes, and that's maddening.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that. Andrew Wiggins just have his... I talked to somebody close to Andrew Wiggins last Friday. The guy clearly cares. The guy cares. The guy, he does care. But when you got to guard De'Aaron Fox 94 feet, and you were expected to score another 20 offensively, and you're not touching the ball offensively early in the shot clock, because that's the problem. He doesn't touch it enough. He's not aggressive enough. And whether that's on him or not, I don't know. But Andrew Wiggins had a lost year. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that.
Two.
Andrew Wiggins, well, I thought he played well last year, then he went away, and that was that. But damn, Andrew Wiggins was MIA yesterday. A lot of botched layups. They just weren't good enough. His team wasn't good enough.
Soft Euro layups. In the West. I'm like, just
They were 10th place in the West Conference.
Sorry.
All right. Let's.
I can't wait to talk to Warrior fans.
Well, we got full phone lines here. We'll get to them on the other side. 888-957-9570. It's all brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I can never see myself, you know, not with those two guys. I understand this league changes and there's so many things that go into it and we're not going to play forever, but, you know, we've experienced so much together and at the end of the day, like, again, I know they want to win, I know I want to win, and That's all I'm worried about.
Now back to the morning roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, Steph. Tough night for Steph Curry. Tough stretch since the All-Star break. Last night, Steph Curry, 6 turnovers. He's credited with 6 turnovers, 22 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. And the Kings did a great job of limiting his three-point attempts. He only got 7 three-point attempts up. 7. He was 3-7. It is 16 overall. Kings did a great job. You got to tip your cap to Keon Ellis. Tip your cap to Keegan Murray. They did a hell of a job. Kings had multiple help defenders, and they said anybody but Steph. Anybody but Steph. And the Warriors didn't have enough as the Kings starters outscored the Warriors starters 104-48. And just like that, the season abruptly ends. The Warriors don't make it past a 9-10 game. They would have had to win in Friday just to make the playoffs. We had our doubts about that. But boy, what a tough ending here. Klay Thompson, 31 minutes, 36 seconds, 0 for 10, 0 for 6 from 3, 0 points. Andrew Wiggins, 4 of 11, 12 points, 3 rebounds. The starters, the big boys, did not play well. TJD only played 10 minutes and 35 seconds. That's a resounding, tough pill to swallow. And so what do we do now as we enter, in a way, Shasky, a very refreshing situation here for me, where I thought, okay, let's get to the offseason. I've been waiting to get to the offseason, waiting to get to talk about what needs to happen or what could happen or what may happen. We're here now. The future is here now after watching that last night. They just cannot. You know, I know there was talk about, hey, let's run it back. If Draymond Green doesn't get suspended for 17 games, maybe they're a 6 seed or a 5 seed. There's no chance in hell that Joe Lacob is running this back with the money he spent on this team. There will be changes,
well,
folks.
Well, and to get better, they have to figure out some of their salary cap stuff. I sent you the long article from Bobby Marks, and we'll get into it throughout the day or throughout the week or whatever. Like, there's a lot of financial dominoes that they have to accomplish to even make moves.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I want to stop and pause on, this had zero to do, even though the last 3 or 4 years, I feel like that, just not you and me, but just fans, the media, both locally and nationally, just the young guys, the young guys, the young guys, the young guys are the reason this isn't better. The young guys, they miss here. The young guys. Dog, if the young guys didn't play last night, you got ran out of the gym in the first half. And I'm not saying that the young guys are sitting here ready to be the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the appropriate thing to break down today is how the top dogs aren't good enough, or need to be reimagined, or they need to move some pieces. Like, to me, the young guys are, we need to praise the young guys for getting them to the 10 spot.
Kuminga had a hell of a third year. Pajimski had a hell of a rookie year. And Trayce Jackson Davis popped. Moses Moody yesterday stayed ready. 16 points. His jolt in the second quarter got the Warriors back into the game. He scored like 7 straight, 8 straight. I mean, wow, Moses Moody. Maybe he should play a little bit more. And he was out of the rotation. But here's the reality of the situation. As well as the young guys played yesterday, they should be credited for having a solid season. It's not good enough. Why? Because the big dogs are now past their prime, and the youngsters have yet to hit their prime. You're in a weird situation here with both the youngsters and the veterans. The veterans are just a little too old. They're a little north of 30. And they're long, and just those little ticks off. Like, Steph Curry is not the same player, obviously, that he was 2 years ago. But just those little ticks off where you lose a little bit of speed. You lose a little bit of explosiveness. That matters in a game like last night, because as an older guy, you have to almost be perfect with all your movements, all your passes. And if you're not, these young guys are going to harp on it. And that's what they did yesterday. They feasted on whether you're a tick off or a tick late as an older player. Yeah. You don't have that same explosiveness. But when you get old, you get old. And now you got the young players who just haven't been there before. They don't have the experience. And they don't know yet how to really play the NBA game yet. They're still learning how to play it.
I hear you. Like, CP3 is very old. Curry is even old. And Clay that's and Draymond. But what's the excuse for Wiggins?
Wiggins,
and I'm not trying
know,
to, it's
man.
Not all on Wiggins.
Know.
That's not what I'm saying.
I don't know.
But, like, what's his excuse?
There's no excuses.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
There's no excuses. Wiggins played better ball down the stretch, but it wasn't good enough. And when you give Andrew Wiggins the extension, $400 million, we all thought, boy, this is a bargain. You stole Andrew Wiggins for 4 years and $109 million. And I think what's baked in is that the fans, for the second year in a row, when he left for personal reasons, whether or not it's not our business what happened with Andrew Wiggins, number one. It's not our business. He had to go away. His dad, what I hear, is very, very sick. His brother went away from Europe to go visit his dad. Some people handled it differently. Like, I'm not going to tell a player how to react to a family member being sick or whatnot. I don't know that relationship. I'm not going to get into that relationship. But the fact is, on the floor, it just wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough.
But he's not the only one in his prime.
No, he's not the only one.
GP2, not available enough. You swung a deal. Look, you
but
swung
Wiggins, But is Wiggins past his prime? I don't know if he's in his prime yet, because you got to think he's been in this league since he was 18, 19 years old.
So you think
he's played a lot of basketball. A lot of basketball in his career. I don't know if he's past his prime, but is Wiggins' prime good enough to carry a team? It obviously wasn't good enough in Minnesota.
Not even carry a team. He had career lows across the board.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
So, like, forget carry the team. Just average your averages. And he couldn't do that. So, like, it's never one thing. There's a pie chart of culpability. But and it is funny to me. Like, we spent all this time, Wiseman, it doesn't line up. It doesn't line up. You missed on Wiseman. And you traded for GP2 and how'd that help
but
you?
But that miss for Wiseman
was
a massive
miss. Bonta, you'd have been in the same exact spot with Wiseman.
Maybe.
Whether you made the deal or not.
I don't know.
And everybody wanted. I'm just saying, we blamed him. And I don't think that's fair.
No, that's
Jordan
not
Poole,
fair.
We blamed
but
him.
But that pick, and the Jordan Poole pick is massive. And it hurt you last night.
Does paying a bunch of guys.
It does.
I agree. But so does paying a bunch of guys, you know, a top dollar, which doesn't afford you other options to be able to swing
trades. But at the time you pay for Wiggins, it was all acceptable. The deal hasn't worked out. Right, if you had to go back in time, and when they signed Andrew Wiggins to that 4-year, $109 million extension, how'd you feel?
Well, no, at that time, yeah, I thought it was a good deal. But Bonte, at the deadline, I knew, like, all right, get anything you can for this guy because I want to open up a spot for Kuminga. That's the way I felt. And people could say, well, Joe, you'd have got pennies on the dollar. So be it.
Nobody was talking about trading Andrew Wiggins at the deadline. I didn't hear anybody talking about that.
Well, I wanted to.
And I didn't. You didn't say anything to me about it. This is the first time I heard about that.
Guys, was I not? I think I've been done with Wiggins for quite a while.
But Wiggins started playing well, and everybody accepted it. Everybody accepted it for that deal. Everybody accepted that deal. I'm not here to defend Andrew Wiggins because Andrew Wiggins, when Clay was struggling, everybody pointed to figure out Clay. And I'm like, hey guys, Andrew Wiggins is averaging 12.5 points a game. He's your lockdown defender, your two-way player who's supposed to take the next step. And it's not working out. And
both of those guys came up short, right?
So all these guys came
up short. But see, here's the thing with Clay. Clay, I get it. Like, devastating injuries.
Well, now you get it.
Well, no. Getting it and then explaining that he's not the same player are two separate things.
I mean, like
we put it similar to Brandon Belt being in the four hole. He was miscast as a cleanup hitter. Klay Thompson
was miscast as a number two option, and I admit that. That's been baked into it.
Yes,
that's people's fault for thinking that he could be a number two option. Klay in his head wanted to be a number two option again, but I knew once he came back, he was never going to be the number two option. He was not the number two option going into the playoffs when they won a championship game. He shouldn't have been a number two option last season. He shouldn't. But that's the way the roster was constructed. Let's take...
I think psyche played a big part of that, too, because clearly him and Steve Kerr had a lot of conversations just about his own mental state of mind, and I get that, but that's a reality of something they had to deal with.
888-957-9570. We got a lot of calls here. I want to get to the calls on the other side. We get to everybody here. Lines are packed right now as we talk about the Warriors season coming to an abrupt end. What do you do now? What do you do? What is the first move? There's a lot going on here with the Golden State Warriors. A lot of guys didn't play up to their standards. Just a tough, tough scene. And last night was a microcosm of what really was an up-and-down season for the Golden State Warriors. So what do they do now? What do they do? That's all coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
I'm so upset!
This is Klay Thompson, and you are listening to The Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. It better not be roasting me if I'm doing one of these shows.
All right, let's open up these phone lines here. This segment is sponsored by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. What's your thoughts on the game last night? What went wrong for the Golden State Warriors? Well, everything went wrong. Everything went wrong. They were a minus 24 from the three-point line. They got dominated on the glass, a minus 7. Wow. There were a minus 7 when it came to offensive rebounds. There were a minus 16 when it came to second chance points. There were a minus 6 when it came to fast break points. There were a minus 8 when it came to points off turnovers. There were a minus 8 when it came to committing turnovers. And your starters got outscored 104-48. So, yeah, a lot of things went wrong last night at the Golden 1 Center for the Golden State Warriors. Jonathan Kuminga's burst.
Moody.
Moses Moody's burst.
I thought Pods was playing his butt off.
He was trying to tap in rebounds, but you could tell that, you know, De'Aaron Fox, there was no answer to him.
There was a couple of Draymond moments.
A couple, very early. It gets a bonus. I thought he played solid defense.
Oh, you know, look, Sabonis. You have to wear the L when a team beats you.
Right.
And Sabonis, I thought, outplayed Draymond in that game. He played really good. I think that Keegan Murray was excellent.
Keegan Murray was unbelievable, and
your boy Keon Ellis was... Yeah. He was dynamic. To say he was anything less is absurd.
I mean, Keon Ellis was special.
He was dynamic. I mean, when have you seen Steph Curry get picked, his pocket picked twice?
Yeah.
And then the guy's hitting threes. I mean, Keegan Murray was so good, he actually missed two or three wide open threes.
Oh, wide open three. They could have blown that game open in the second quarter. Like, the Warriors were lucky not to be down 15 at the half.
He's a guy night and day in terms of confidence level.
Oh, yeah.
How different does he look 1 year later?
32 points, 9 rebounds, 8 of 13 from three.
If I watch them top of the key, like the Kings, do a little dribble handoff for a screen, and our big sag on Keegan Murray one more time.
But here's the problem, Chasky. Not only were the big sagging, but Clay and Podrick getting crushed on screens last night.
I know.
They were dying on screens. And what happens here is when you don't have the athletes,
no,
You have no covers for pick and roll.
No.
You have no covers for the pick and roll. Your bigs are too slow. Your bigs can't play in space at times. And that's not Looney's fault. That's not TJ. It's just, it is what it is. Clay's getting killed on screens. He's dying on them. Steph's dying on screens. Pods is dying on screens. You don't have the athletes at the point of attack to defend at a high level.
Which
has been the problem all season long. You're not the, every day the Warriors step on the court, even against the Detroit Pistons, they look like they're at an athletic disadvantage. So you need more. You need to get more athletic somehow. That's issue number one to me. You got to have more athletes. You got to figure out how to use JK because he is your most dynamic athlete. But you also got a money situation with him. Got to figure out what to do with him long term. Or you're going to move on with him long term. A lot of stuff going on here. Let's go to Adam in the city. Start us off, Adam, here on the roast. What's up, man?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. You know, before the break, you asked, like, what do you do next? What's the next move? And, like, my not hot take, but just my take is just, like, I think you need to blow this team up. You just said you need to get more athletic. Well, if you do what Steve Kerr says he wants to do last night, which is, you know, bring everybody back, it's like you're completely going against getting more athletic or even getting better. Like, so many of the games, the big blown games this year, I honestly thought, like, you know, there was really nothing much that I guess they could do last night, but I thought Steve Kerr's lineups and just the substitutions were just off. You know, Alex in Atlanta called in months ago saying that we have a Steve Kerr problem. I thought that was on full display last night. Yeah, a lot of those guys weren't playing well, but when you look at how well, you know, Moody, Kuminga, all those guys got better this year, it's like, man, how much better would they have looked if they were playing last year? And it's like you record-wise and playoff-wise, you were better last year, so that's just my take, and I also just wanted to say I am completely putting this season on Draymond Green and costing us going to the playoffs and costing us this season. You mentioned it, 17 games missed because of suspension. I thought it was 12, but 17, the ejections. So let's say that's 21 games, right? 21 games when you guys were barely in the 10th seed, a couple games back at the 6th. I'm putting this season completely on Draymond Green.
Well, and then we'll never know the collateral damage of everything last year and how that affected some of the guys in that team.
Well, we know how it affected Jordan Poole. And, you know, you want to laugh at Jordan Poole, go look at his last 10 games going into the offseason. He's feeling good about where he left off so he could build off of that. But, you know, Draymond Green missing those games. Draymond Green, again, he told me before the season, when we shot that commercial together, I asked him in that tent, what do you mean by the most important season? What do you mean by that? And he pointed out his ring finger. He said, it's about getting that fifth ring. And the season started off where they go 5-1 right off the rip. We're thinking, oh, wow, maybe they are. The vibes are back.
Yeah.
And then ejections started happening. The Cleveland Cavaliers game. And then the Minnesota game happened where he woke up Anthony Edwards. And then the choke heard around the world against Rudy Gobert, which got a pop for 5 games. And then later on, Nurkic. So when you miss 17 games due to suspensions, you miss another game due to ramping up, and you get kicked out of 4 others, how can you not wonder what could have been if he's healthy? Because on the court, Draymond Green showed how important he was to this team. Defensively, offensively, played well, played very well. Shot a career high from 3. Was aggressive offensively at times. I wish he was more aggressive. But when you miss 21 games and you're one of the key cogs on this team, that's too much for a team like this that is really thin around the margins. Like, think about when you have an older team and a bunch of youngsters who are not yet in their prime, Shasky, everything has to go perfectly. Everything. Every pass has to be crisp. If a pass is a tick off, it's going to get stolen. That's just is what it is when you lose explosiveness. When you have youngsters who have not been in their prime yet, haven't been experiencing anything, things have to go perfectly. Think of how many games we sat here and said, boy, it'd be fun to have the whole roster together. But the reality is GP2 can't stay healthy. CP3 is an older player. He missed time. We got lucky that Steph and Clay played over 70 games, and it still wasn't good enough. It still got you to 10 seed.
Yeah, that's the cold dose of reality.
10.
And then I guess that brings me to the coach, because I see a lot of people mad at the coach. I don't love the rotations. I think it's the easiest thing to critique. It reminds me of, like, should have went to that guy instead of that guy in baseball. Or why'd you run this play in football when you should have ran that play?
Right.
Like, I find it to be a low-hanging fruit conversation.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. No, but what I was going to say was, there is one thing that I'm just fundamentally curious on. You told me how much that you needed to protect the basketball and how important that was, and how you got CP3 for a playoff game. And yesterday was a quote-unquote. Now, look, the reality is they're far away. Like, you lost in the 9-10 play. You didn't lose in a seven-game series in the second round. You lost in the 9-10. So we're clearly far away from where we want to be. Like, we're on the moon when we should be at Jupiter. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're light years away. But in a game that you clearly needed to hold the ball better, you needed ball protection, you needed to slow things down, you needed to stabilize it, you needed a secondary ball handler opposite Steph Curry to get the pressure off him, I was just perplexed as to why you didn't go to CP3 more and earlier.
He went to pods first.
I was perplexed.
And I was like, wow. Chris Paul, I thought Chris Paul would be there to help settle Jonathan Kuminga down. Because Kuminga, the start of the game, was just erratic. He was moving way too fast. He was in turbo mode. It's like, dude, you got to slow down. You're running around with your head cut off.
Well, he finally settled down. Into the lane twice and lost the ball.
He finally settled down in the second quarter and kept you in the basketball game. But the Chris Paul usage... And I guarantee you, Chris Paul was every bit the professional that we didn't think he was coming into the season. A lot of Warrior fans, he was one of the most hated non-Warriors in recent memory.
I've done a complete 180 on him.
But what Chris Paul did for the youngsters,
agreed.
He never bitched and moaned about coming off the bench. He was a true professional. What a season for Chris Paul! Had a solid season, and you know, deep down inside, he's thinking 18 minutes really. 18 minutes in a do-or-die game?
When I saw pods come in, and I this isn't a pods versus CP3, but like, I like pods a lot. He's one of the greatest point guards of all time. And he's still got a little something left. No one is saying he's prime Chris Paul. But in that game, you don't go to him that early? I wrote down, I also thought he came in with 3 minutes to go in the first quarter, and I was begging for it. They went 15-4 run. Over 4 minutes to start the game. And I said, can we get CP3 in there? He didn't come until the three-minute mark in that first quarter. And that's when I was like, I just threw my hands up.
Yep. Keon Ellis had a steal with Steph Curry at the five-minute mark. 15-4 run there for Sacramento. Second quarter, they're up 16. They open up a 41. Actually, they were up 38-22. Chris Paul hit that big three in the corner.
Yes.
But that was a huge shot.
Yes.
Then they go up 16 again, and then Moses Moody had the little run there where he had a three. He dropped the dime to Looney, had a good defensive play. Then you had J.K. with the six straight. And you're thinking, boy, down four at the half, despite
they were so
Curry.
Lucky.
Despite Curry, I felt good. Despite Curry having 5 points and Klay being scoreless and they're down four at the half, I'm thinking to myself, oh, Warriors got this. Then the third quarter had happened. So CP3, I know deep down inside he's thinking to himself, I could have helped a lot more. And the rotations, like a three-guard lineup yesterday with Pod, CP3, and Steph, they're not athletic guards anymore. So when you're going against Keon Ellis and De'Aaron Fox and you got Keegan Murray out there, and even Harrison Barnes, how robotic he is, he's even a little more athletic than those guys. Last night's three-guard lineup, it just showed how small you are and how unathletic you are. And the Warriors' small ball lineup, now you go look at New Orleans and their small ball lineup. It's Zion, it's Trey Murphy III, it's CJ, it's Herb Jones, it could be Alvarado. It's actually a bigger, smaller lineup. The Warriors' small lineup is small and unathletic.
Herb Jones tried to dunk from the free throw line last night on LeBron James. The saddest part of last night's game, to me, it's just Harrison Barnes going at Klay Thompson late in that game. It was just like, I felt so much empathy and sadness for Klay Thompson.
Well, he went at Draymond, too. I mean, they were going at everybody. They went at everybody.
Good for Harrison Barnes. He got his moment.
The Kings went at everybody.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
But I'm just saying, as a Warrior fan, seeing Harrison Barnes do that was like, ugh.
I mean, look.
It was salt.
It's a 9-10 game. It's a 9-10 game at the end of the day. The reality is the Warriors are in 10th place in the Western Conference and had to fight off the Houston Rockets. And the change needs to happen. Why? Because San Antonio is going to be a lot better next year with Wimby. Utah won 31 games and weren't even trying to win basketball games. And they fell at a 31. Houston, they got something cooking down there with those young athletes, right? They're cooking with Ime Udoka. Portland, they're going to try to make moves. And even hell, Portland gave you a game in the last week of the season. You didn't have Draymond and Klay. Damn, that was a toss-up. So the Warriors, can't forget about the Memphis Grizzlies. As much as I can't stand the Memphis Grizzlies, Ja Ja is a game wrecker. He changes everything for them. Desmond Bane becomes better. Triple J becomes better. The Memphis Grizzlies will be back, and they'll be making noise.
But
so what do you got to do if you're the Golden State Warriors?
This is what you got to do. You got to go to Steph Curry, and you got to have the best owner in the game, you know, who's put his money where his mouth is at every single turn. They're going to have to reimagine this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you're at. And I think Warrior fans have now come to the – I don't think they were ready last year, but I do think they are now. Because you went on a run into the second round, like that fool's gold of going into the second round.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe you beat the Lakers. I know, I'm going in my Steiny mode here. But I do think a lot of fans are like, they're close.
But
they'll be better this year.
Yeah,
it's Jordan Poole's fault.
Yeah, it was Jordan Poole's fault.
But that was never real.
No, that was never real. The culture – I don't even want to get into that.
Well, get into it. Why would you want to get into it?
I want to talk to some calls, man. Will in L.A., what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Will?
As you were saying earlier, Bonte, this had to end this way. In some ways, I'm just relieved. Not that we aren't in the playoffs, because it sucks. It always sucks not seeing Steph in the playoffs. But they had to flame out in this way for the changes to be made. This team has been masking the symptom of the disease that has been plaguing this team since 2020. But we won in 2022 despite the two timeline plan because of Steph's greatness and having the right vets around him who could contribute at the time. At that presser, we saw Steph last night at the presser in real time struggling to come to grips with the fact that he has only known winning with his guys there.
Yeah.
He's only known it. But he also, at the same time, was saying that he wants to win. Whatever that means, he wants to win. That's what he said. So I've always been of this belief, and I've been killed for it a lot by other friends who are fans. When you have a generational player, I always believe that the championship window begins and ends with Steph Curry. And all the moves beginning in 2020 should have been with that in mind. Obviously, we know that wasn't the case. Lacob wanted to have, in my opinion, his cake and eat it too, and ended up with aging vets trying to push past their prime and young guys with a ton of potential, but not where they need to be in order
to... But can I pause you? Can I pause you? Because I hear this all the time. Okay, number one, to make a deal for a max player, you had to be willing to give up another player making significant coin who would have been one of those three guys. You couldn't just trade a pick for money because you were so over the cap. So you explain to me where the misstep was. Like, you couldn't just trade the number two overall pick and go get Paul George. I'm just using hypothetically, Paul George. He was making too much money. You were over the cap.
And let's be real.
Like, we have to be realistic.
But not only that. A team's not giving up a player like Paul George for a number two pick who could be a project. You're just not going to do that. That's bad business.
Well, and I agree, but I personally have always been of the belief that one of Draymond or Klay should have been traded.
Okay.
Whether that be not, maybe not, I wasn't necessarily in that mindset in 2020. I just think in 2020 they should have chosen, like the pick was just, they screwed up with the pick.
You got to remember, though, Klay Thompson tore his Achilles on the day of the draft in 2020. We were all banking on Klay Thompson being back after missing the season with the torn ACL.
Yeah.
And so we would have saw Klay Thompson probably be a better version of Klay Thompson, the Klay Thompson we all grew to love, and playing alongside Steph and Draymond Green. But it didn't happen like that. Oh, and by the way, Andrew Wiggins, because we thought Andrew Wiggins would be a fourth option, play the easiest basketball of his career. So it would have made the Wiseman pick. There was more emphasis on the Wiseman pick and urgency with that pick because Klay Thompson went down. And so we were picking on a guy who played three college games to say, hey, you're going to help bridge us this gap, and you're going to do it quicker. We're going to expedite the process here. There's a learning curve in the NBA. It's why young players don't win in this league. Wimby was all world this year. San Antonio won like 20 games.
Even if you had traded Wiseman before you executed the pick and you had stapled one of the lesser priced players, and not because no one was ready to move off of Klay and Steph, Dre. Trust me, I remember doing those shows. You get Miles Turner. I'm just hypothetically. Those are the kind of guys that are Wendell Carter.
Right. Are they helping you win?
I mean, come on.
They're helping
those
you really win.
Those were the players that you were going to get those guys.
I don't think they're helping you win.
No, we know they're not.
Yeah, so I don't know what you could have done in 2020.
You're going to do the legal.
All right, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.